What a privilege to carry a fleeting to God in prayer. Oh, what need the often forfeit? Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Have we trials and temptations?
Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Oh, will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Come with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find us all is there. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
So what I'm going to talk about today is trials, tribulations. Turn with me to Job chapter 14. Let's read verse 1. The Lord left these things like this. That's what I was first wanting to know about. God, in his wisdom, he left the world the way it is. And you will see it in all these Bible verses we are going to go through to make you to see that God has a plan, a bigger picture than what you can see perhaps. You may have your own problem. You may have your own trials. You may be going through things right now. Maybe you are not going through anything right now. It may come later. But it is allowed. God allowed these things to be like this for his own purpose, for his own plan. And when we talk about trials now, we're not talking about the trial of your faith. That is also trial. I'm talking of the trials that is in the world. That whether you like it or not, you will run into it one time or the other as you live long on this planet. Amen? Let's read Job chapter 14 first. Verse 1. It's a man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. That's the first thing I wanted to see. He said, we are full of trouble. And the Lord Jesus Christ said it in another way. In Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Let me read that really quick. But the way I'm going to present, or the Lord is going to lead me to present this message, is I'm going to give you some few examples of trials in the Bible. Maybe you can say yours is tougher, yours is difficult. Things are not going the way you expected it to be. Everything was going good, suddenly something goes sour, and you feel sad, and you are sorrowful, and you are bitter. Whatever is going on, There is a song that my mama always used to sing. I don't know where it was from their religion. It's a Yoruba song, but I will just translate it. It said, if you say your trouble is plenty and you are sorrowful, you are sad, you are frowning your face, is what it really translated to me. He said, but when you hear of other people's troubles, say you'll be saying, I thank God. Praise the Lord. But God put it that way in the old universe. And that is why Job was saying, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. In fact, he said, as he sparks, blows up, the troubles comes down upon mankind. But you see, what God is trying to make us to see is that maybe he didn't plan it that way in the first instance, but after the fall of Adam, we know in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, if you want to go there real quick, he said, while the earth remained, seed time and harvest, snow, summer, he said, darkness, light, they will continue till the end. Amen? So what that symbolizes to you then is not just the weather. It also includes good times and then suddenly bad times. God said he will leave it like that until the end. Amen? So there will be a time of tears and there may be a time of great enjoyment. But God allows some of those things so that let's read it in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. Praise the Lord. Here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14, the wise man Solomon was saying this. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. There will be adversity, and there will be a great time of plenty. Now, if you are going through adversity, or look like this is every time there's adversity, maybe you want to pray. The Bible says pray. Maybe every time, maybe you are going through days of joy, days of gladness, days. I said, be joyful, be grateful. But when the adversity comes, just consider that, hey, God has set this over against the other. Like Job said to his wife, he said, what? Shall we receive good from God and shall we not receive evil? Knowing that God created all those two things. But the Bible also said, God doeth good. Amen? God is good. So what I'm going to try to balance for you today is to see that these trials, they come to every human being. You may say, oh, this man does not know what he's talking about. You don't know anything. You are living in a place like this. You don't know what we are. We are homeless. We know trials. You can't tell me anything. Yes, I may not be able to tell you anything. But the trials of every person may be different. Just may be different from that of Job. You know the story of Job, that he was a rich man in his days, the richest in the East, the Bible called him. And he had everything, and he had children that are the most beautiful in the city. And for some reason, like you can read yourself, I'm not going through the story of Job, I'm just going to give an example. That suddenly he lost everything in one day. Everything in a day. Started with his children. Then came all that the goods that he had. And you say, well, what kind of... mine is not like that, thank God. Yeah. Job had that thing, that trouble. And you all remember, we read this book of Job. It looked to us as it did happen one day, and then the second day he had sickness, and the third day God set him free. Oh, it's just a three-day thing. No, it's not. It was not a three-day thing. That could lasted 10 years. The mystery of Job could have been 10 years. So, but it was condensed to us like this. So whatever you are going through, you may say, yeah, I have been homeless for, 15 years. I don't see any hope. I'm going to go through these Bible verses so that you may see that there is hope. Amen? Not only that there is hope, sometimes you're only seeing the small picture. But God sees a bigger picture. And I also want to give you a caution. The caution is this. We are going to see the stories of these men in the Bible where they went through their lows. The lows is the trials and the tribulations. And you can see, that's tough on them. That's sad on them. And the only ones that we have record of are the ones that God brought them out of that low, and we saw the glory of God manifested in the end, and they were glorifying God. We can say, well, they went through these trials like Job. We know the end of Job, not so. He went through this. I said it was not just a one-year thing. It was not a six-week thing. It could have lasted 10 years. He lost his children. These are not little kids, grown-up children that were partying. So if he lost them, he didn't collect new ones back the second day. So you have to know that it could have been 15 years of misery. Not to talk of the sickness. He lost all his goods. He couldn't get them back the second day. Okay, God said, now I'm healed. You know, something that he just got 2,000 sheep back. No, he has to get them in little, and then they grow and become the richest person again, maybe after 15 years again. So what I'm trying to make you to see is, we saw those stories, but the time duration, which may be similar to what you are going through right now, maybe you have never gone through something that long, it's still the fact that God allowed these things to happen to mankind. Good times, and there may be bad times. But we're going to see how we should handle it, is what we're going to talk about. How should we handle situations like this? So that we do not offend. Amen? So that we do not offend. However, when you are going through those trial times, like Apostle Paul said, he said that the trial of your faith, though it endure, you just have to know that everybody is going through some trials. If you can hold on, hang on with God, the Lord will bring you to. But there are some people that God may not bring them through that trial. They may die in their trial. They may die in their trials. That's what I want to point out. Amen? So when we look at the stories of the great men in the Bible, that they went through these trial times, which may be God instigated, God orchestrated that for them, or they just went through trial times because of the situations in the world. Because some of the ones we are going to read, we can look back at history and say, actually, God orchestrated those trials. Like Abraham, he had trials. But in his days, he was one of the richest men in town. And we know the story of Job. He had those trials. It was orchestrated by God. That was because it was written for us as orchestrated by God. Now, if we didn't read this, it was not written like this, and you heard about that story, what will you say? You say something happened. Thieves came and stole all his goods. There was war, and they took all his properties. Then he fell sick in the midst of it all. If God has not told us that he caused this. So maybe you are going through some tough times. Well, God has not told you, nor anybody, that he's orchestrated it. So you will be almost thinking that, gee, what happened to you is just different from what is happening. So what I'm trying to say then is, it's not every trial times is orchestrated by God. Neither is every trial time not orchestrated by God. So you just have to see that, but it is how you handle it that is going to see whether you are going to be called man of faith. Because at the end of time, that's where I'm going to at the end. I'm going to summarize it at the end to tell you that the Bible said it in the book of Revelation that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes if you are one of them that arrive at his feet on that day. Amen? If you are one of them, after you have gone through all these your trials in life, which everybody is going through one kind of trial or the other, whatever it is. Your own trial may be financial. That fellow's trial may be afflictions of disease, sickness, hospitalization. It's a trial. And you may say, well, I thank God I'm not even afflicted. I'm only just having no home or no money. Your own trial may be family situations. Your own trial may be anything. Little children have trials. So whatever is your trial, if you arrive at his feet in the end, in the kingdom that he is bringing, the Bible promises you God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. So that should be your hope. That I want to be there where God is wiping away all those tears from my eyes too. That is the hope that we want to live with you. But that depends on how you walk now with him. No matter what you are going through. How you walk with God now will determine whether you are one of them is going to be wiping away tears from your eyes. Amen? Because let me give one example. When I said I'm going to go to some Bible verses in a moment. I said there are some that God brought them out at the end and they got something better. And we can look at their history and say, yeah, low times, and then God rescued them, like this of Job that we know in the Bible. But there are some people that they died in that trial. They died in that trial. Example, you know the story of Lazarus, the beggar. What the Bible said, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us this story of Lazarus, the beggar. He said, there was a rich man living sumptuously, didn't know God. And there was a beggar by the name of Lazarus, sitting, living at the doorsteps of this rich man. And this beggar, homeless, feared God, walked with God in his own way. The Bible didn't say he was a saint, but he feared God and walked with God. And then in the end, this man, the beggar, died as a beggar. But what did the Bible say at the end of that? He was at the bosom of Abraham. Amen? So that's what I'm trying to point out to us, that it's not all that we are talking about or something that everyone that goes through at low times, we suddenly arrive in the great deliverance at the end. Some died in their poverty. Some died being a beggar. But if you walk with God, right, if you are upright before him, even if you die in that your trial times, whether in disease or sickness, they died in their, and they are still trusting God, they will be like Lazarus that was at Abraham's bosom being rocked. He was at Abraham's bosom being comforted. Amen? So you have to first remember that how you walk now with God is very critical, whether you are going through trial times now or you are going through great times right now. Praise the Lord. Now, let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Like I said, I've read it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. These few verses are just to tell us that these things are ordained and God allowed the times of trials and the times of good things. Bad times come and good times come. Verse 1 says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Verse 7, a time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Amen. What is all this Bible verse telling us? Just like the book of Genesis chapter 8 said to us, seed time and harvest. Genesis chapter 8 verse 22 that I just quoted to you in a moment. God said seed time and harvest will not cease. The same thing that he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, that God has set one over against the other, so that man may not find anything after him. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, let me read that verse again to you in a moment. This is after the world has gone through the flood. And God promised that he will not do this again. He will not destroy the world all over again with flood. But he promised in verse 22 of chapter 8, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat. You may say, I like cold. The other guy may say, I don't like cold. I like heat. They say, cold and heat. And summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So we can say, and good times and bad times shall not cease. This is Proverb telling us that the good times will come and the bad times will come. And let me give you the first example. When we say good times and then bad times, sometimes you may say, well, I didn't even know why it comes. The Bible made it clear that sometimes evil just came by itself. Here's an example of the story of David, the king. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, let's look at some of this story and wonder how in the world did this thing happen? Did God do this? Is God just playing games with us? Or is it the devil that is doing this? The devil just making a havoc with mankind? Or is it just situation? It's life. I'm not going to give you an answer to this. I'm just going to give you this example. 2 Samuel chapter 24, We see here the story of King David. Everything seems to be calm and quiet in Israel. David had been king. And suddenly here comes this trouble. In chapter 24, I will just read. You all, any of you that have been reading the Bible, you know this story. Here in chapter 24, verse 1, the Bible says, and again, it didn't tell us what led to this. What led to this confrontation? Is it confrontation with the devil? Here is what the Bible said. It's almost like trouble came from nowhere. That's what I want to point out to you. This is to a whole country of Israel. This is not like David has been, something has been going on, the city, the nation has been doing stuff. God sees what we don't see. But what is written now is what I'm going to just point to you. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he moved David against them to say, go, number Israel and Judah. Well, that is what was recorded. We do not know what was happening, what God saw. But the Bible says it was God that moved David to offend. And Isaiah said in a place, why did thou made us to err? Look like God made them to err sometime. So you have to begin to say, we are not trying to find out what is the reason for this. We have to just point out these things occur in life. Whether you like it or not, sometimes troubles come. That's just what I wanted to point out. Here is an example that whether David liked it or not, this trouble just came. He didn't know what moved him. That's what you are going to point to. You've got here, he said God moved him to number Israel. And numbering Israel made him to have offended. And we know the rest of the story was, after he did it, in fact, the Bible said his captains. For verse 2, for the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba. And number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab, the captain, didn't want to do this. All his counselors say, why do we need to do this? But the Bible said, he prevailed against them. Verse 4, notwithstanding the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the host. Captains of the host. So somehow, something moved him. He wanted to do this. And it was a sin. Let's do census. And they went and they said, well, no, why do we need to do this? The captain, they all said, why do we? He said, we need to do it. We need. And they went ahead and did it, and it was an offense. And the rest of it was plague upon the land. You know the story if you have read the Bible so much. Let's read what happened. He said, after they have done this, the prophet came and said, you have done something wrong. God said, choose what I should do to you. 7 years of famine, 3 months of war, or 3 days of pestilence. That's trouble. What did we do to offend? What made David to do this? Now, let me go to the same rendering of this in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Just to make you to say it's not God that is sitting on his throne trying to find a way to make people fall into traps and sin. No. But the Bible gave us the two sides of it. He said God moved David. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 21, he said Satan moved David. So now you can take your pick who is doing this to mankind. Verse 1 said, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan. And bring the number of them. And this, the same thing, verse 3, Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my Lord the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then does that my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? They know it's going to be a cause of trespass, but he didn't listen. Why? Because the Bible says Satan moved David to do this thing. Or in the other verse, chapter said, God moved David to do this thing. So what am I trying to point out? Everything may be good and calm and quiet, and suddenly evil come. That's what I'm just trying to point out. It may come from nowhere. Sometimes we don't know what power is moving you, what power is moving me. And when it happens, it happens. Now we're going to see another example here. Take another example is Daniel. Daniel, in the book of Daniel chapter 6, this story is, all of us know, we can bring all of this from different angles, but I'm bringing it from the angles of trials and tribulations. We come to every man. And when they come, when you handle it properly, then the Lord is going to give you great deliverance. If you don't handle it properly, but if you still walk for the Lord uprightly, even if you perish in that trial and tribulation, you are going to be like, what is his name? Lazarus. That was at the bosom of Abraham and being comforted. So those things happen in the world. You just have to know that. But the purpose of it is, what are these trials expected to do for mankind? What is the purpose of it? And we're going to go to that in a moment. I'm going to get to some Bible verses. What trials are expected to do for us, including the trials that God sent to the saints. Because God sent some, which we call persecution. That is when people are really persecuted for your faith. When you stand tall for Jesus and you are preaching the gospel and they come against you, it's another form of trial. Whether through governmental, you know, politics, or people just don't like what you are saying, they fire you. It can happen. Preach to somebody and they say, we found that you gave this tract to somebody. And we have a policy that this shouldn't be allowed. So pack your load and leave. That will be like trial also. And you'll be saying, well, I stood for Jesus and I was fired. And it's still firing. You may look for a job for the next 3 months and not find another job. So those are all trials also. But sometimes God sent that to the saints. It happened in the first church. But all of those things are also trials and tribulations. We're just wrapping everything together as trials and tribulations. They may come because of situations. They may come because of environment. They may come because of the world is full of troubles. But what is the purpose? How should we undo all these things? So that in the end, we will be one of them, that the Lord will be wiping away tears from their eyes. That is our goal. You want to keep that in your mind. Now let's look at this. I said Daniel in his own book, everything was going great for Daniel. He just got promoted to be one of the presidents, reporting Daniel to the king. What can be a greater great joy? And that's the days of prosperity. And he was in charge of everything. The other president didn't like that. They didn't like him. So we know suddenly, it looked like there's no way they could get Daniel into trouble. It looked like trouble won't come from anywhere. He's always faithful to the king. So what can be trouble? It's not that he has power for sicknesses. It's not sickness. So where will trouble come? But you see, the devil sees otherwise. The devil can always bring trouble when God allows him, of course. Or God can always test somebody through anything. Everything can be fine and dandy, look like there will be no trouble anywhere. And when God wants to test, he can also bring it from nowhere. So suddenly trouble came to Daniel. Somebody that was close to the king, suddenly he was arrested. You can go and read the whole story in chapter 6. I'm just giving you the key that it was trouble. Whether you like it or not, call it what we trial, obviously, trouble came. And this trouble came, suddenly he was arrested. Just think of the president, or close to the president, everything was doing fine. He was not in a secret sin that they will find. They couldn't find any secret sin. You can read the senators in this country, and suddenly they say somebody was doing something wrong in the men's toilet. It's in the news recently. And now he's in trouble. So you can say, well, he must have had some secret sin. But Daniel had no secret sin, nothing. Everything was fine. The man of God. The king liked him. The king wanted him to be in charge of everything. So there will be no way any trouble can come. You see, no way any trouble can come. Suddenly, trouble came. What kind of trouble? He got arrested by the same king. What did he do wrong? They found a way to create a certain law that said you can't pray. And he couldn't stop praying, so they arrested him. And what was going to happen? He was going to be thrown in the lion's den. That was what I'm talking about. Troubles can come from nowhere. God allows these things, highs and lows, so that we can be on our toes, even if we are sins. Be on your toes. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't think you are impregnable, or what you call is invincible. God is the invincible. Amen. And we have to have that kind of mind, and you have to tremble before him, to be humble before God. To fear before him. The Bible says something, say, fear the Lord, ye is saints. You that is a saint. You that is following the Lord, fear the Lord. Because when everything is going great, just that's when you should be pray humble. Why? Because God says he dwelleth with those that are lowly, contrite in spirit. Amen? So he allowed these troubles and trials because he has ordained it to be so. But let me bring it another way. Here is what Job was saying. In Job chapter 19 or chapter 10. You all know that the book of Job was written long time before, we don't know, maybe before all these Israelites. And Job was talking to God in his rendering when he was going through these trial times. In chapter 10, verse 4, he was challenging God that, hey, he knew God was doing this to him. He knew that this thing has to be from God, because he looked around in life and said, he has done nothing wrong. And his friend was saying, no, Job, you must have done something wrong. These bad things, just like many of us, we have our theology different. We said, bad things don't happen to good people. This that is suddenly happened to you, you must have done something, some secret sin. Like we said, Daniel had no secret sin, they still brought trouble. No, so if you know, if you balance the word of God, you see that this thing can come from nowhere. But the way you walk with God will determine what you will be saying at the end of it all. Praise the Lord. So here is what Job was saying when he looked around his life and saw that he has done nothing wrong, but this trouble came, and now he was challenging God. He said in verse 4, telling God that, do you have eyes like of flesh? Or do you see as man sees? Are your days as the days of man? Or thy years as man's days? In fact, he was saying, God, I'm a human being. You are not like us. Why are you judging me like this? Read some other Bible verse. He said, look, it's almost like God was nickpicking him. That, Job, you found something wrong. He said, that was how he was accusing God. He said, leave me alone. And God said, okay, so I have no eye like man. He said, you are not like flesh like us. You don't know what we go through. That's what he was saying. Just must say, oh, his brother, you don't know what you are going through. We are homeless. We are this. You have not have any problem. I have a child that is this. Somebody said, oh, look at how I've been struggling with sickness in his family. Oh, my family has been this. Well, like I said, when you say yours is trouble, when you hear somebody else, you say, thank God. So Job was challenging God, and God said, okay, I will prove to you. That's why God came as a human being. He said, well, you have no eyes like of flesh like us. Why are you judging me like this? You are not a few years, so the Lord came to prove Job wrong, and he came as a human being and walked on this planet like us in the body of Jesus Christ. And then he went through the same trials like you and me. Some of those were not recorded here, but he went, they summarized some in the temptations. But he went through the Bible said, but without sin. Amen? So that is what we are trying to make it to see. If the Lord did it and came as human beings, because Job has challenged him, you are not like us. Why are you putting us through all these trials and travails? You have no flesh. You have no eyes of flesh. And God said, okay, I will come as a human being. I will live among you guys. And I will walk as a young man through all these trials and temptations. And he had a lot of it too. Let me give you something that you may not know, that you perhaps didn't realize it. If you look back at the Bible, do you know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was practically was living as, what do you say? Maybe somebody say, you know, I have to take care of my mom. Oh, from my youth, I've been the one responsible. Jesus was perhaps working as a carpenter, taking care of Mary. Because if you look at that Bible closely, look like Joseph, the father, has passed away a long time ago. When the Lord Jesus Christ moved to Capernaum, what do you think Mary moved to Capernaum with him? He was the head of the house. Just think of a carpenter and taking care of a mother. Perhaps, you know, the bread and truth, which means the Lord Jesus has become so responsible as far as financial is concerned before he started his ministry. So when you say yours is trouble, he went through to the same thing that you and I could have gone through. Because you can read the story of some people, they will tell you that, oh, since I was 18 years old, I have to work two jobs because my mama is sick and my this is that. I am the only most responsible in the house. I have to take all the responsibility of everybody. So if you read between the lines, you can see the Lord Jesus was doing something like that. when his mom was living, coming to live with him when he was starting his ministry. So that is what I'm trying to make you to see. He lived this world, but the Bible said he was tempted on all sides, yet without sin. So then he could tell you in John chapter 16 that I have overcome the world, be of good cheer. He said, in this world you will have tribulations. John chapter 16, let's read verse 33. Verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, as long as we are here, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. So the Lord is telling you and me, be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. So those things that whatever you are going through, whatever I might go through, the Lord has overcome the world. So you can put your life in his hand. Amen. And think of another example. Jacob in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. You think these men didn't go through trial times? They went through trial times. And that's all I'm trying to point out to you, that these trial times, they come, where they come to every human being. We may look at the stories of these people and see how God gave them victories at the end. Here is the story of Jacob. Genesis chapter 37 was where his son, his beloved son, was reported as dead. We know the story, so it doesn't make too much impact. Maybe you never really consider what Jacob went through. And that is what I'm trying to make you to see. Those are trials of life. He went through his years of thinking this man was there, and nobody told him he was not dead. The man that he loved, his young son that he loved, Joseph that he loved so much, and he got him a coat of something, the best coat in town. And suddenly they came, his brothers wanted to kill this boy, and they sold him into slavery and came back and told Joseph that, or Jacob, that his son Joseph must have been torn into pieces by a wild animal. There's no way to disprove it. And even God did not tell him in a dream or in a vision to give him any comfort. So for years he mourned. So maybe somebody, you have lost a loved one that you cry and cry and cry and cry. The only hope is that maybe you will see him in heaven again. But this man went through the same thing. Just imagine that. So those are trial times in life. Whatever you have lost, whatever you have gone through, that's an example of somebody. You may say at the end, he saw this man later, 70 years later, found out he was not dead. But what about all those 20-something years? What do you think he was going through? Trials. Sorrow, sadness, thinking that he lost the best man, the best son he has, he lost him to death. So whatever you could have gone through, you're going to say, hey, gee, I was talking to somebody recently, he said he lost somebody, one of my buddies in the gym. He was telling me that he has two sons or two children, and he lost one when he was 5 months old. And he thought that Only he could just imagine what that boy could become. He was thinking of, what would that young boy or that young kid that he lost at 5 months old would have become? This man is now in his 70s. And I said, well, that's true. Everybody would like to think of that. This fellow that just died in his prime, what could this boy have become? So think of Jacob, that as a son that God was telling this some vision that this boy is going to become somebody, and now he's dead. So for 20-something years, you will imagine, what could this boy has become? Sorrow, sadness. That's what we are saying, trials of life. They come to everybody. They come to everyone. God allowed it for a purpose. Well, we know the rest of the story of that man, but we're just giving you examples that these trials are ordained by God, that it happens. It could be in form of sickness. It could be in form of this. But when they occur, it's to teach us something. It's to make us to be stronger. Let's go first to see what are these things expected to be. Like I just summarized trials for you, for different people. Just maybe financial. The other person may be a physical affliction, sickness. And some other people may be family troubles, or somebody has lost loved ones, or somebody died in the family. And they are all trials. They are all tribulations. They are all heart troubles, pain, sadness. But they are not, you're not expected to live in it forever. But some people live in it 20 years like Jacob. Some live in it just some short time. But in all these things, in all these things, God is trying to make you to see that you, your way of earning it, the way you walk with God uprightly, will determine whether you are going to be one of them that is going to be wiping away tears from your eyes. Because he has left the world the way it is. Human beings, we put ourselves in this trouble from Adam. So God said, okay, seed time and harvest, we continue to grow until the end. So that is what we are all growing through in human beings. But we, as believers, this is what God wants us to learn from this. Like he said, all things we work together for good to them that love the Lord. Amen? That is the first thing you wanted us to learn from this. Let's look at Judges chapter 3. In the book of Judges chapter 3. Even to the Israelites in the Old Testament, God said he left some of those things so that he can teach them something. So we then from there we can deduce that God allowed these trials to come off and on so that we can become stronger. Here is what he told the Israelites in Judges chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them. Even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war. At the least, such as before knew nothing thereof. So in short, God was saying he will allow some trials to come off and on. He came to Israel as a nation. He said to teach them war. So there's a reason for why God allows some things in life. So the same thing, these trials that come occasionally to mankind, even among the best of us, God allows those trials to come to teach us something, sometimes to make us stronger. For Israel in those days, he said, I'm going to leave these tribes, that he didn't drive those tribes out of the land for them. He said, to teach them war. Because occasionally we'll come against them, and these people have to learn how to fight back, to fight them, how to stand their guard. He said, to teach them war. Here's another example. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 that we have read before, he said, so that man shall find nothing after him. It's another reason why God allows those things to be in the world. So that we can find nothing after him but to keep us on the straight and narrow road. If you see that way. Amen? If you see that way that these things is to keep you on the straight and narrow road, then you'll be learning something from that. Because sometimes people don't see that way. When they are in their trouble, that's when they say, where is God? But see, he allowed these things sometimes to keep us on the straight and narrow road. Because when you see another example where the wife of Job said, the devil put his mouth, cursed God, and that's what the devil wanted to get out. In that story of Job, why are you still standing in your integrity? Curse God and die. That's what God, the devil wants to get out. But Job said, no, we are not going to receive good and not receive evil from God. In short, it kept Job in the straight and narrow road. He wanted to stand and make sure that he stands. Another story in the book of, in the another example is James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, tells us what the trials also is to do for us as believers now. James chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 2. Here is Apostle James writing to us and said, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Now, temptations summarize everything, not just the tempted to sin. All these trials are also going to tempt you to want to sin. Somebody lost his loved one, he had a baby and the baby died. Well, you are tempted to say there is no God or to curse God or to say is there any God answer prayers. So they are all trials of temptations. So, verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So that's another thing, these trials of life that God allows occasionally to come into mankind's life is to do for us, to make you to learn patience, to trust, to learn how to trust God and how to walk in the way of God. Another Bible verse, 1 Peter chapter 4. Apostle Peter also told us about this, that it should teach us something. We can learn something from it. And in the end, the Bible said, all things will work together for good to them that are the called? I'm going to go to that in a few minutes. Are you one of the called ones? If you are one of the called ones, mean you are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Almighty God, then everything that is in your life, God is watching it. Whether it comes by your mistake, God is watching it. Whether it comes by circumstances, God is watching over it. Whether God sent it himself, God is watching over it. So you have to remember that. That's all of those are if you are the called. And we that are believers, we are all called. Amen? If you are a child of God, you are a believer in Christ, you are called. So we are the called. And if you are one of them, then you can say everything will work together for your good. Amen? According to his purpose. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Say, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Say, Christ's sufferings. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. What I just said, if you die in that suffering, like Lazarus, God said he will wipe away all tears from the eyes of everyone that arrive at the end. Verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Like Daniel, they couldn't find something wrong. Not that suffering would not come. They couldn't find him as a murderer or as a thief or anything, but they still cajoled something out, and in the end, we know the rest of the story, but troubles may come anyway. But God is saying, when you are standing tall and upright before him, you'll be standing with him at the end, wiping away all tears from our eyes, because whatever you go through that brought those tears, when you arrive at his feet, it will not even be remembered. Those sorrows will not even be remembered. Amen. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Amen? Commit the keeping of your soul unto God. That is all we can say about that. Commit the keeping of your soul unto God. Now, like I was saying, all these trials come to every mankind, but how we handle it is very important. God allowed situations and also allowed room for manipulations. Amen? Like I said, these trials are ordained for every man to appear to anybody in the midst of joy, but God also allowed room for changes. He allowed you to pray so that we can change some things. Amen? Let's go to an example here. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 20, we know the story of Hezekiah the king. He was, like we said, the best of us, these trials will come. Hezekiah was one of the great kings in Israel, and he did great wonderful things. We know the story of how suddenly he became sick. We don't know what caused the sickness or the disease, but he was sick. The Bible says, unto death. To the point that God even sent the prophet and said, well, set your house in order, you're going to die, you're not going to live. But like I said, when this trials comes, it is how you walk with God, how you stand with God, your uprightness before God, that is very, very important. Whether to wrestle with God or at the end to be able to be one of them that God will be wiping away tears from your eyes. So we know the story. This Hezekiah, he had this experience of disease and sickness, but he cried unto God and he presented his own uprightness before God, and God reversed this thing. So what I'm saying is God left rooms for modifications. He leave room for changes, so you can change some things. Even in this type of trial we are talking about, your prayer can change things. That is why we don't say these trials are automatic, well, just take it. No, we are not saying, oh, just take it because It's ordained for you. No, he said you can change it also by prayer. Amen. You can change it by prayer. You can change it by your uprightness. That is why there are so many promises in the Bible that give good promises to the righteous. So if you are righteous and this trial comes, then you have something to present before God, like Ezekiel. Amen? Praise the Lord. So in short, build your life on that solid foundation of walking uprightness before God, like we see the story of Daniel. And when you have done all of those, even when the trial comes from the enemy, the devil just attack, or God trying, testing you, or whatever kind of trial comes your way, you will be like the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Because we're going to round it up with the words of the Lord Jesus himself. He gave us a strong admonition in chapter 7 at the end of this Sermon on the Mountain. The Lord said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. What are the sayings? Walk uprightly before him. That's all the summary of the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are walking uprightly before God, he didn't say there will be no trials. What he's saying is, I will liken you unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. That's when you are keeping it. And what will happen? Verse 25, and the rain descended. He didn't say there will be no rain. The rain will descend. These are the storms of life, the trials we're talking about. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. So, when you walk uprightly before God, when you are following all the righteousness, like he said, seek ye first that kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said, troubles will still come. Trials of life will come. Just like we just said, it comes to all mankind, different forms. It's not always financial. It's not always sickness and disease. And whatever is the form, it could just be trouble between you and your workers. They're just making you mad or wanting to get you out of the whatever is the trial. God said they are storms of life. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ, remember the story, the Lord Jesus Christ was in the ship with the disciples. And the storm came. Well, the storm didn't say, well, this is the God of the creation. You better keep quiet now. The God of the creation is on the storm, on the sea. No, the storm came. But the good thing is, he stood up and rebuked the storm, but the storm still comes. So what I'm trying to make you to see is that these storms will come anytime to any human being, whatever is the storm of life. But if you are built upon that foundation of walking the way the Lord said you should walk, say you will not fall. The falling is not just dying in that storm. When you transgress by offending, if you offend, that is the falling he's talking about. If you say there is no God because of what you are going through, because you have prayed and prayed and prayed, nothing seems to happen, and then you think maybe there is no God, you are like the fools. So that's the falling. Or if you transgress because you have no money, you went to steal, then you have sinned also. So whatever is it, you don't want to sin. Whatever is your trial, you don't want to sin. Because he said, then they fell, and great was the fall of it, because now they are rolling down into the lake of fire. And verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain came, both to the one built on the stone, on the beautiful foundation, and the one that is not built on the good foundation, the stone will come to everybody. Whatever come up, what about the storm we are talking about? The trials, the trouble, the tribulations, they are the storms of life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. See, how should we walk so that when these trials comes, we do not fall? You don't want to fall like the devil was suggesting to Job. He said, hey, just curse God and die. He did not curse God. He did not fall. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. While you are young, you can begin to build your life on that solid foundation. This is what Solomon is telling us here. He said, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. These are the evil days we are talking about. When things are going great, you are to praise God and also to walk uprightly before him. Because evil days normally will come to every human being one time or the other. He said that even the old age is what he is talking about here. It's like evil days when things are normal working fine in your body, in the physical body. He said, but if you have remembered the Lord in thy youth, you will have built up some solid foundation. He said, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. See, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. That is, this is simply talking about when you grow old, it will be like evil days. When all the muscles are shaking and look like, hey, what's going on here? But if you have remembered your Creator when you are young, you have built up a solid foundation so that you are going to be standing. At least in your faith is what he's talking about. In chapter 11, this is how you also make sure that what you are doing now as you are walking with the Lord right now and you are walking with him in uprightness, you are building a moisture for yourself. You are building a solid foundation for yourself. Like the Lord Jesus Christ said in that chapter, if you are doing these sayings of Jesus, you are building your house on the rock. When the storms of life come, you will not be shaken loose. And there's another rendering of it in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Solomon said, you have to cast your bread upon the waters. And he said, just do the good things. You know this is the way to live. This is the best way of life. Cast your bread upon it. In the another rendering said, do good everywhere you go. He said, but the good that you do now will come back and help you in the end. And this is what he said here. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. In short, Lord said it this way, build your life on a solid foundation so that when the storms of life come, you will not fall. Amen? Because these storms, we talk about these trials and troubles, tribulation, they come to every human being once in a while. And when they come, you are standing in your faith. You are standing confessing Jesus. You are standing not shaking because of this situation. Amen? And the Lord also gave promises to make you know that these things will come, not that it won't come. He only said, I will be with you. Amen? Isaiah chapter 43. I'm wrapping it up right now to tell us about all the things. Once you build your life on this good foundation, these are the promises of God. The promises for those that are suffering, whatever you are going through, God promised that he will be with you. This is promised not just to Israel, but to you as an individual. Verse 1 and 2. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Then say you won't pass through the waters. The waters like the storm. It's like the trials, like the tribulations we just described. He said, but I will be with thee, is what the Lord promised. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. So God is promising you and me that those trials will surely be around sometime. Whatever time they come, but I will be with you. When you are actually upright before the Lord, he will always be there with you. So you can rest your mind on that God will be with you, but you have to walk your own path. While you are still, everything is still right and good, praise him. Walk with the Lord with uprightness of heart. So that even if the trials comes, it looks like even God seems to be the one doing it, then you can be like Hezekiah that presented his case before God. He said, Lord, I have walked uprightly before thee, and I am not ready to die right now. So he was praying that the Lord should reverse what even God himself said. And we know the story in the book of John, 2 Kings chapter 20, that God turned back and said, okay, I hear your prayer, and I'm going to reverse it. And God reversed it, he gave him 15 more years. Why? Because he has built his life on the foundation the Lord just talked to us about. Build your life on that foundation. When the trials come, you have something to present before God. Amen? So what I said, even in the time of those trials, you can change some things. God allow room for changes. God allow room for modifications. And to summarize it all, Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11. Here David was saying, "For the Lord God is his sun and shield, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Amen. No good thing will he withhold from you when you walk uprightly. Even when the trials of life come and you now present your case before God, like Ezekiel. And Ezekiel refused to accept death. And God said, okay, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's the summary of what we're saying about this end part of it. The trials come to everybody in life. Yours may be different from his. His may be different from hers. But whatever is your trial, financial, physical, emotional, whatever it is, if you walk uprightly before the Lord, then make your request. Present your case before God. And God has left room for modifications. He leaves rooms for changes. And he said, no good thing will he be told from them that walk uprightly. So I don't know what you may be going through. But this is what I'm going to wrap it up with this song. In 120-202, that song in this book, number 202 said, I must tell Jesus. Just like we said in the earlier one, the Lord came himself as a human being. And he went through the same troubles and trials with us, but without sin. Even when it came to the point where he could say, well, Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So what can be your own trial that is greater than that of Jesus? He said that he who has not sinned, he has no sin, but he allowed himself to go through this trouble for mankind, for you and me. So he knows how you feel also, because he's the high priest of our profession. And because of that, he is also touched by all our infirmities. Because he's touched by our infirmities, he knows how to help you out. That's why you can trust him and put your life in his hand. Then you can tell him. This song says, I must tell Jesus all my trials. Amen? That's number 202. Let's sing it some few verses and then we are going to pray. Whatever you are going through, I know many times we have some people from the homeless shelters, that they might tell you their life stories that you wonder that, how did you get to be like this? And they are facing their own trials. But tell Jesus about your trials. Let's sing this song. If you don't know these songs or you don't know the rhythm, you say, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. His kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask him, he will deliver. Make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Amen. Maybe you are not going through any trials yet or currently that can make this song mean anything to you. But if you are, listen to those words, it kind of makes sense. Because sometimes you don't sing some sorrowful song during time of gladness. Now that you do sing some gladness song to somebody that's going through sorrow. But I'm presenting the word of God so that you might perhaps see it when that time comes in your own life, refer to it, because God will bring it back to your mind. That, hey, that preacher said something like that. I can tell Jesus. Amen? You can tell Jesus your own troubles, and he will hear you. Because he's, look at what he said. He said that he's able to make it quickly come to an end. But that is if you have walked upright before him, like he said, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Amen? And also, because we said, he has left rooms for changes. Even in all these things, we say it comes up and down to mankind like a wave, highs and lows. But he left room for changes so that you can change it when you know how to pray, how to trust. Amen? And I want us to just stand up. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. It's a tempted and tried, I need a great Savior. One who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me. Over the world, the victory to win. You say, well, tempted to sin, yes. When you try to do anything because you are financially broke, and you hear that, hey, throw in these coins here. Maybe you can get 777 and get. They're asking you to gamble. Tempted to sin. Whatever it is that your temptation is, or you are going down everything, you look as if you are beginning to doubt your faith. It's temptation to sin. You are being crushed in sickness and disease, and you are changing your doctrine about this God of healing. You are beginning to say, maybe you are tempted to sin. But God is saying, even in those temptations, you think God, the Lord can help you. Like that man that he said, let me tell you the story of this man that brought his son to Jesus. The lunatic boy. He brought him to Jesus. The Lord was not there. He went with Peter, James, and John to the top of the mountain on the day of transfiguration. And the rest of the 9 apostles were trying their best, casting the devil out. The devil refused to budge. And the man, you don't know how many years this man has been carrying this young man everywhere. When I think of it, I feel like crying. If you have gone through situations where they look like doctors say no hope, and he heard about this Messiah, and he came by, looked like they couldn't help. Now here comes Jesus Christ, and he said, this boy has been thrown into, this devil has been possessing this boy for years, throwing him to the water, throwing him to the fire to kill him. He said, if you can do anything, help us. If you can do anything. And what the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe it. And the man cried. He said, I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. Help thou my unbelief. This man's faith has been shaken. Is there a God? Is there anything in life? And this thing has tried him. How many years he has been carrying this baby? He said, from his young boy. That was his own trial time. But Christ said, all things are possible to him that believe. He said, I believe, but the faith is being shaken for years. Whatever your own faith has been shaken because of this or that, troubles, trials, diseases, afflictions, we have prayed, look like nothing is happening. He said, but help thou my unbelief. So that is what you want to think about. He said, but tell Jesus, because he has been like us. And he's the high priest of our profession. And I want us to pray. Just present your case to him right now. Just talk to him. Talk to him yourself. Even if you say, I don't have anything, everything is going up fine again, pray for those whom you know that are going through things right now. Just talk to Jesus, because he said, I must tell Jesus. You tell him about that fellow that you know that needed his touch, his deliverance. And let Jesus Christ touch him and set him free and deliver him from all these troubles. And if you want us to pray for you right now, you are going through troubles yourself. Like we said, God allow room for changes. Even when you are going through trials, allow room for changes. We want to come forward. We want to pray for you. Let me pray for you. If you need me to touch you and pray for you. Because when compassion rises, God uses that compassion to touch souls. Whatever you are going through, financial situations, come. Come forward. Let me pray for you right now. Whatever is your own situation, that this may be tough. I don't know. I want to tell Jesus, come forward, I will pray for you. Because the Lord himself can deliver. He said, he will help you. Whatever you are going through, he is the Savior, the Deliverer. He said, I called up Bashir. All the other people, pray for yourself. Pray and say, Lord, help my friend there. Help my brother there. Help this fellow. We have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for years. That disease is still there. Lord, save us. Help us. See, these things, they are ups and downs. They come to every human being. But God says, sometimes they are to try us. Sometimes they are to prove us. Sometimes they are to make us trust. But also, he leaves room for us to shine things. So we can shine some things if we pray and walk with him. Father, we thank you. Say that call the Bashir that you are called.